Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Dr. Wilfred Wong, the president and COO of Sands China, on the opening of the Parisian earlier this year and other issues facing his huge Macau company. The GGB podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos in North America. The Sands China Empire in Macau is vast and varied. The leadership of the company requires knowledge of all elements of an integrated resort, and Sands China has multiple IRs. Dr. Wilfred Wong was appointed president and COO almost 2 years ago and marks the first time an ethnic Chinese was put in charge. Wong has presided over the construction and opening of the Parisian, the latest must-see attraction in Macau. He also discusses other challenges and opportunities in Macau, such as the surging mass market, non-gaming attractions, and the opening of the Hong Kong-Macau Zhuhai Bridge. He met with me at his offices at the Venetian Macau in May. Dr. Wilfred Wong, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you in person. We've done this about we did this about a year ago when you first came on, and I enjoyed it on the phone. I'm looking forward to seeing you, to talking to you in person here.
Thank you, and it's always good to put the face to the name.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. No question. Well, you've done a great job since you've taken over here. You know, it's such a premier property, the entire Cotai Strip properties of Sands China, and you know, you haven't missed a beat. Explain, you know, and the most recent thing was the opening of the Parisian. Explain how what impact that had on the other hotels and on the company as a whole.
Yes, I think this is this latest addition to the Cotai properties really complements what we have already got. Mm-hmm. The Parisian is a themed resort, and particularly targeting at the mass market, mm-hmm. Because we think that the that's where the growth
sure.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the performance of Parisian after its opening testifies mm-hmm. that this is the right approach. We have a retail mall that is targeted at fashions, mm-hmm. The most recent fashionable brands, 160 of those retail outlets. Mm-hmm. We have another 14 to 15 F&B outlets. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have all kinds of amenities that is non-gaming.
Sure.
We built a half-size replica mm-hmm. of the Ivory Tower.
Right.
We have themed swimming pool mm-hmm. and the children's play area. They're all very well patronized.
Yeah.
And the creation of this at the end of the of our property, mm-hmm. at one end of our property,
right.
really created a clustering effect for the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And we also built a pedestrian footbridge linking Parisian
right.
to the Four
mm-hmm.
Seasons. We see a lot of foot traffic. It improves the patronage of the Four Seasons
right.
Hotel
mm-hmm.
and the shopping arcade there. All in all, I think we have seen an increase in the patronage
mm-hmm.
in terms of number of visitations, as well as the hotel occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
What people normally is worried about is whether there'll be any cannibalization
mm-hmm.
of the business. And in fact, what we saw was there was no cannibalization.
Okay.
There was a net increase in mm-hmm. the business volume, the revenue, as well as the overall growth
mm-hmm.
Of the Cotai property.
Okay. So do you have any VIP rooms in there, or is this?
Yes, we have.
You have
yes,
some.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I know the VIP has been up. I we'll get to that in a second. I want to ask about though the reaction to the customers to the property.
Well, the I think generally the reaction has been good
mm-hmm.
Because we really targeted this property as an affordable luxury.
Mm-hmm.
It is luxurious.
It is very luxurious.
But also affordable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the visitors come for the MICE business, and the reaction has been overwhelming. Mm-hmm. They like the theme. They like the public space. They also like the gaming and non-gaming facilities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them like the restaurant at the Ivo Tower, mm-hmm. Which is unique.
Right. Well, the touches, the finishing touches are so well done. In some theme properties, of course, you know, that kind of gets lost, you know, because the overall theme is so overwhelming that you don't see the final touches. But just, you know, the woodwork and things of that nature, and certainly the ironwork throughout the property is just, you know, second to none. Why did you decide to go, you know, that authentic?
I think one of the important thing of any theme property is the attention to detail. And mm-hmm. The design has to be true to the spirit.
Yes.
And so we pay a lot of attention, our designers pay a lot of attention to the paintings, mm-hmm. To the ceiling, mm-hmm. And also the details.
Yes.
And that created, and even in the room, you see that it's very Parisian. Mm-hmm. You got the map of Paris on the wall. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Did you design it to be kind of an immersive experience rather than just something, you know, you can see and you really feel like you're in France, in Paris?
Well, important thing is we also have what we call streetmosphere. So mm-hmm. you see people dressed in the French style, mm-hmm. walking all over.
And the accordion the property, players.
Yes. And that is the total experience mm-hmm. we're trying to create.
Yes. Okay, great. So, well, similar to the Venetian, the way you have the mimes and things like that in the shopping area there.
That's
the
right.
Yeah, okay, great. So one of the challenges of opening a new property, of course, is staffing it. But, of course, you had the advantage of having several properties already open. So mm-hmm. how did you handle that? Did you transfer people to the Parisian and who knew how the company operated?
Yeah, we have a mix of about two-thirds experienced mm-hmm. staff and one-third newly recruited. Okay. So of the 6,000, 4,000 have had worked in our properties mm-hmm. before. And this really gave us the opportunity of assembling a very effective team mm-hmm. from day one, because usually new properties need a period to ramp up.
Sure, right.
But for Parisian, because we have plenty of time planning for it, mm-hmm. we have training classes for all these 6,000 people. Some of them we started training 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So from day one, there was very few hitches.
Right. Okay, great. So the hotel, has the occupancy rate has been substantial there?
Yeah, Parisian has for the first two quarters mm-hmm. Has an occupancy of about 90%.
Okay,
so it's very well patronized.
Okay, great. So I know, when I mentioned I've interviewed every president of the property mm-hmm. here, and at one point you were going to have branded hotels in Cotai Central that were branded and operated by those brands. Mm-hmm. Toward the end of that construction period, you decided to go the other way. Well, there's still brands there. Sands China is operating all of the hotels, correct? Mm-hmm.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
We have some hotel management.
Right. I think St. Regis. Yeah.
St. Regis.
Right, right. Okay.
Sheraton.
Right, right. So how has that worked out for the company, operating most of the hotels on the properties?
Well, I think this mix of branded hotels mm-hmm. and our own operations creates a kind of healthy competition. Mm-hmm. I mean, our staff learn from these branded hotels and vice versa. Mm-hmm. It offers a wider variety to our customers. Some of these brands are so good that they have a long following. And, the Four Seasons, mm-hmm. the St. Regis, these are top brands.
Right.
And it will be a long time before we can replicate them.
Sure.
But we have been able and very successfully created our own brands, mm-hmm. like the Venetian and now the Parisian. Mm-hmm. And these are big hotels, 3,000 rooms each. And we've managed them very well.
Right. No question. So let's talk about the rebound of revenue in Macau. Luckily, Sands China wasn't hurt as badly as some of the other properties because you didn't depend on the VIP market as heavily as some of the other properties did. Now that it's coming back, where do you see most of your revenue coming from that's returning?
The mass market is still very much the growth area. Mm-hmm. And the market has been going very fast in the last two quarters. And we grow faster than the general market. So we are focusing still a lot on the mass market where the contribution to profit is better.
Right.
But we never forget about the VIP segment, sure. Which is equally important. We remain in competition.
Mm-hmm.
We still try to improve our services to our VIP customers. So I would say that we're trying to cover both the VIP and the mass segment.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, with all the non-gaming facilities available, we have a better chance of growing the mass market than the other competitors.
Great. You know, yesterday at the at the panel we were on, you mentioned some pretty impressive figures, the percentage of hotel rooms that Sands China has in the market, the percentage of MICE space. Explain for our listeners exactly how much that is.
Okay. Well, we were lucky because we have a lot of land bank in Koh Tai,
mm-hmm.
and we were the first one.
Right.
Mr. Allison has the vision of Koh Tai Strip,
right.
And we have now realized this vision. He spent a total of $13 billion
right.
already
mm-hmm.
in Macau. So we now have, compared to the gaming concessionaires mm-hmm. as a whole,
right.
45% of the hotel rooms, mm-hmm. 62% of the total retail area, 60% of the total non-gaming revenue,
mm-hmm.
and 90% of the total MICE floor area.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty impressive. 90% is pretty much the
well,
whole.
Well, we have these convention and MICE facilities, mm-hmm. Which is so impressive. They are larger than the Hong Kong Convention mm-hmm. and Exhibition Center.
Right.
We can handle any conference of 12,000 to 15,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and we can handle 36,000 meals a day.
Yeah. So one of the strategies for building that space there was that the Hong Kong Convention Center is always booked, you know,
yes.
from day one
yes.
to the end of the year. Has that strategy worked? Have you been getting overflow from Hong Kong?
We as a destination mm-hmm. Has its own attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the hotel accommodation, that is really the inadequacy of the Hong Kong convention
right.
space.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It has very few hotels. Mm-hmm. Here in the Koh Tai Strip, you have tens of thousands of hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And just for ourselves, we have 13,000 hotel rooms.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that is in itself an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
We have also been seeing an increase in the MICE activities. Just for 2016,
mm-hmm.
We have 700 MICE events
okay.
in Koh Tai, and over 900,000 participants
mm-hmm.
came to Macau. Now, I expect this to have a healthy increase of about 20% a year, and hopefully there will be some explosive growth
mm-hmm.
after the opening of the Zhuhai-Macau Hong Kong Bridge.
Okay.
That is being scheduled for opening towards the end of the year,
okay.
And latest first quarter of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We are already stepping up our promotion of convention facilities mm-hmm. overseas.
Okay.
So we've been participating in trade shows. We've been going to countries
mm-hmm.
like India,
mm-hmm.
Japan, Seoul, not to mention all over the mainland China.
Sure. So when the bridge opens, how do you expect that to operate in terms of how the ferries have operated in the past? Are there going to be charter buses coming directly from the airport then that people don't have to get on the ferry?
Well, we are in constant touch with the Macau government, I think at this stage, they're still talking to the Hong Kong government mm-hmm. on how this would operate. Mm-hmm. I envisage that there will be a limit on the number of private vehicles mm-hmm. being allowed because into Macau, because Macau is a small place.
Sure, right.
And, but there should be licensed shuttle buses routes, mm-hmm. right. Which will be able to take passengers from the Hong Kong airport mm-hmm. Straight from the airport to Macau.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that is going to overcome one of the major hurdles that the MICE event organizers mm-hmm. normally face,
sure.
and that is you have to clear custom twice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now if we can do this and minimize the trouble mm-hmm. to the participants, I think that would be a great attraction.
Okay. And obviously the other end of the bridge is Zhuhai. what do you expect to get out of there?
I think Zhuhai is going to be another important link mm-hmm. because the high-speed rail mm-hmm. In China
right.
really goes to Zhuhai.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have now the bridge and we can have shuttle buses picking up passengers mm-hmm. from the rest of China
right.
through that bridge to Macau, that's also very, very good for our
sure.
business.
Sure, okay. Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing. You know, when I was here a couple of years ago, I was speaking to a lot of the executives, and even though we were in the downturn then, they were still very bullish on the business in Macau because they say that we've only penetrated the Chinese market to 1% to 2% at that time. has that increased, and how much more do you think it can increase?
Well, I think we are looking at a huge population.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the visitation to Macau, actually, it's mm-hmm. a small number compared
right.
to the overall
sure,
population.
Right.
But, of course, we are now gradually working through the cities in China.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just focusing on the first-tier city and second-tier mm-hmm. city, we're now moving into cities where we feel that there is a good market for outbound
mm-hmm.
Travel,
right.
And so we are in cities like Chengdu
mm-hmm.
In the north, and this is now yielding results
right.
Because a lot of people in China still do not know the range of non-gaming facilities
mm-hmm.
that's available in
sure.
Macau,
right.
And also their impression of Macau was you know maybe dated.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully with our introduction and our visits to these cities, organizing trade shows
mm-hmm.
for the wholesalers and the FIT people,
mm-hmm.
It's going to help their understanding of what's
sure.
on offer.
Sure. Now somebody said something that was pretty. Amazing at the show yesterday that there's 20 cities, close to this area in China that have 1 million people or more. So
mm-hmm.
it's just
that's the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's just an amazing statistic.
Right.
So you can see that you haven't really penetrated that far. But mm-hmm. but you also mentioned that the growing middle class in China is a very important part of your strategy.
Right. Yeah, we always know that this is going to be. Our important segment.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the travel pattern, July and August are very busy months for
mm-hmm.
us.
Yes.
In addition to the long holidays,
right.
And the reason is because you know the families are now traveling to Macau,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we have shows like the Monkey King,
mm-hmm.
which is really catering to the younger
right.
people, the children. Mm-hmm. Of that, and this segment of the affluent middle class is going to support the continuing development of mm-hmm. Macau.
Is there an effort by the Macau government to go into these cities and spread the word mm-hmm. about the city that the casinos are involved in?
Yeah, I think the Macau government themselves are also doing a lot of promotion mm-hmm. Outside of China and in China. Mm-hmm. And they have been bringing the concessionaires to major cities in China to promote the image of the new Macau.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So obviously it makes it difficult to really get the message out because you can't even mention gambling in China. So how do you get around that just by showing the wide range of non-gaming amenities?
Well, if you look at the building area of our properties, only 5% is gaming.
Right.
So 95% is non-gaming. Mm-hmm. So it's not difficult for mm-hmm. us to show the range of services
sure.
and facilities that we are offering, plus the entertainment shows mm-hmm. that we're promoting really gives us an edge in any overseas promotion.
Sure.
Because if we mention the shows that we have staged mm-hmm. in Macau,
right.
in our arena or in our theaters, a lot of people recognize that.
Sure, right. And that is another advantage that you have. You're the only casino company that has an arena. I remember being here 10 years ago when Diana Ross opened the
yes.
the arena there.
Right.
So, but you know, I noticed that the acts you're bringing in now are certainly very Chinese centric, and that mm-hmm. makes sense since that's your market. So, how do you get? Do you take advertisements in major newspapers in China or on websites, things of that nature, to get the word out of who's performing here?
Well, we do, of course, run both the print media
right.
as well as the social media.
Mm-hmm.
We are a big fan of social media.
Okay.
And, in fact, that is a very effective way
mm-hmm.
Of informing the public in
sure.
China these
right.
days. Just for the opening of Parisian,
mm-hmm.
On the social media, we have 1.6 billion impressions
okay.
on the mm-hmm. social media. And that's why in a very short period of time,
mm-hmm.
Parisian becomes one of the most favored mm-hmm. destination for visit to Macau.
Okay. I've seen it pop up on some of my feeds, this is the Parisian, people. So do you have apps for every hotel here, or is it one big Sands China app?
Yeah, we have a Sands China uh-huh. portal.
Okay.
And you can really latch on to, and so it's very easy for mm-hmm. you to reach the hotels mm-hmm. that you want.
Okay, great. So We recently saw Crown Resorts have run into trouble in Beijing with trying to recruit gamblers there, mm-hmm. and I guess you don't have that problem since you're based here in China, and you certainly understand what the regulations are.
Yes, we observe strictly mm-hmm. the government regulations.
Yeah.
We never try to promote mm-hmm. any gaming
sure.
activities in mm-hmm. China, and of course the incident of Crown
mm-hmm.
Makes us feel that we need to be more alert. Even more alert,
sure, right.
And therefore we have not allowed our staff even, to mm-hmm. to visit clients in China and all that. But some of the staff that we have are originally from China,
mm-hmm.
so
sure.
from time to time they have to go back to their home.
Yeah, no question. And that helps a little, I imagine. we had Paolo Chan yesterday giving a speech. He's a new type of regulator for Macau. How do you feel that the regulations have changed in the last year or so since he's been on? And do you sense a sense of cooperation with them now?
Yes, Paolo is always amenable to discussion.
Mm-hmm.
He listens,
mm-hmm.
and also once he thought through an issue,
mm-hmm.
He acted fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my arrival is coincidental to
yes.
his arrival.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
we are more or less the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't have the experience of the previous regime.
Sure, right.
But for this regulatory regime, I think there's a free flow of communication,
mm-hmm.
And I can call him anytime to okay. talk about issues.
Okay, great. There were some reports yesterday in the media that the government was going to require the all the concessionaires to reapply. Of course, they always were required to reapply, but mm-hmm. but it was almost they suggested it was going to be another bidding process. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten confirmation that it's just a reapplication process at this point?
Well, we haven't heard anything from uh-huh. government. Obviously, it's getting closer to. Mm-hmm. To the period
right.
Where we need to, the government need to tell us what mm-hmm. to do. And all I got was that the government is thinking about it, mm-hmm. How to approach this whole issue of the new concession, mm-hmm. Whether it's an extension by application or whether you know there'll be changes mm-hmm. to the system. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, I think one thing for sure is that the government is having regard to the reality
mm-hmm.
that all six of us have invested huge amount of money
sure.
Into making it work,
mm-hmm.
and especially in contributing to the community of Macau.
Mm-hmm. Any suggestion that there might be additional concessions issued?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know, and obviously, this is has to take into account President Xi Jinping's
mm-hmm.
Comment about
right.
Macau
mm-hmm.
not over relying on gaming,
right.
And whether you know that would create more opportunities.
Sure.
In gaming for the population,
mm-hmm.
and whether that's good or not,
right.
I think the government has to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yesterday we talked about the possibility of expanded sports betting in the SAR here. There's one company that has a monopoly now, I think sports betting could be a major boost for
mm-hmm.
for all these casinos. Will there be discussions about that, do you think, with the regulators?
Well, I'm sure that the government has to respect what they have done,
mm-hmm.
Giving this company that monopoly. I don't think there will be a relaxation of mm-hmm. that within the short period of time in the future. What we think could be done is to enter into discussion with this company on how we could mm-hmm. jointly develop
sure.
the business.
Yeah, and that would make sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the gaming floor for just a minute here. Has there been a lot of changes down there in terms of the tables versus the slot machines versus the electronic table games? Are you pretty satisfied with the way the floors are set up now?
Well, Macau, and this really is the preference of the Chinese gamers.
Right.
Table game is still
sure.
very much the preferred.
Mm-hmm.
The slots, we see growth in the slot machines,
mm-hmm.
In the business and revenue.
Right.
So we're going to continue to develop that.
Mm-hmm.
We have now a total of something like 4,500 slot machines in our property. And we have over 1,600 table games.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the time being, they are functioning very well.
Okay. Well, you've got probably one of the best chief gaming officers in the business, in Andrew McDonald, so
yes.
I'm sure he's guiding you with his
yes.
suggestions.
Yes, Andrew comes here so often
mm-hmm.
that there is he doesn't miss anything.
Right. No, he certainly doesn't. No. So you're also in charge of the Sands Macau in the peninsula. How is that performing?
Well, Sands Macau is our first
mm-hmm.
casino.
Right.
And right now it is the whole of Macau Peninsula
mm-hmm.
is undergoing some changes
mm-hmm.
because of the increased dependency on the Cotai.
Right.
But I think there is always going to be customers
mm-hmm.
in that area because it is close to another ferry terminal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for day visits, a lot of people find it more convenient to
sure.
use Sands Macau.
And do you think it's it will become kind of like a downtown Las Vegas? Are the limits of the games less down there so that the lower mass market could enjoy themselves there?
I wouldn't differentiate like that,
uh-huh.
but I think naturally with so many VIP facilities
mm-hmm.
available in the Cotai, there will be more relocation of VIP services
mm-hmm.
to this area. And downtown Macau and some of our competitors are still there, will still provide a reasonable number of VIP rooms and services.
Okay, great. So here on the Cotai Strip, we're going to see MGM open later this year. SJM will open in 2018. Is that going to put increased pressure on your properties here? Because MGM certainly, it looks like it's a pretty spectacular property, and I'm sure SJM will be as well.
Well, I think all properties that open in Cotai are so impressive. You know, Wynn Macau was impressive. Studio City was good. And Parisian's not bad.
No.
So
not bad at all.
So I think the more I feel that for the for Cotai and for it to become the real strip, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
And in fact, we are seeing that happening. The hotel occupancy has not dropped because of the opening of new hotels.
Right.
In fact, more visitors are coming over to Macau.
Yeah. So it's your belief that the more spectacular properties open here, the more people will be. So you're going to grow the pie rather than cut it into smaller pieces.
Yeah, I think, and also for with the opening of the permanent ferry terminal.
Sure.
With the Hong Kong Zhuhai Macau Bridge, all these are creating that organism for Cotai to grow.
Okay, great. Well, Dr. Wang, you've done a great job here in just a short time, so we're really pleased we could sit down with you. And let's do this next year when I come back for G2E Asia, and we'll update what's happened with MGM and everything else that goes on in this crazy town.
Yeah, thank you.
Enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.